And again, bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. The lesson this morning is from an Old Testament story, the book of Nehemiah and the man Nehemiah. We're going through in our Bible class lesson on Sunday morning the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And as we go through those books, it kind of take chapter by chapter, but I'm going to tell you pretty much the whole story of Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in our lesson this morning. And I titled it, "The People Had a Mind to Work." The people had a mind to work. And I'd give a second title would be, "Don't Leave the Work to the Leaders Only." Don't leave the work just to the leaders. And then I added, even my notes, I put down a third title possibly. Nehemiah leads the way, but it's with the people. It wasn't just a solitary service or work by one man named Nehemiah. In your notes, I kind of put the story together just with those two verses. The first one in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, and there is an outline if you get a bulletin this morning. On the back of your bulletin, the notes for the lesson this morning. But in Nehemiah 4, verse 6, "So we, that's our lesson. We built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together up to half its height. For the people had a mind to work." The people. And then in Nehemiah 6, verse 15, "So the wall was finished. It's in the 25th day of Ehol. In 52 days, the wall was finished." We mentioned in our Bible class lesson this morning the size of that wall all the way around Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't say how tall it was, but the width of it was 8 feet. It's a massive undertaking. But when the people had a mind to work, led by Nehemiah, the work was completed in 52 days. So let me ask you some questions. Don't answer out loud. But how was that possible? And why did they succeed even in the midst of opposition? We're talking about a wall around Jerusalem, miles. I don't know the height, but 8 feet wide. Was it just a faithful few that were involved in the building? Was it just the leadership that did the work? Was the wall around the entire city? Yeah. So let's look at our lesson this morning, leadership. I put in my notes, followership, fellowship, togethership, congregationship. In other words, all together now. Altogether, not with Nehemiah's story, but we're really talking about the work of the congregation here. So what did it take for the wall to be completed, and what is it going to take for us to complete all the works that we are involved in? I listed 8 things from the text. Here we go. Number 1, concerned with the welfare of the brethren. Now when Nehemiah heard the story, he's in Babylon, away from Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah 1, verse 2, "Hanani, one of my brethren," Nehemiah says, "came with men from Judah," or Jerusalem, went back to Babylon. He says, "I asked them concerning the Jews who had survived the captivity. And I asked them concerning Jerusalem." Nehemiah, what's on your mind? "I'm concerned about the welfare of my brethren." On another. You know, when the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament, he copied this attitude. And several times in his writing, in his letters to the churches, he asked about how they were doing, concern for brethren. In one place, in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, Paul says, "For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know of your faith." He established that church in Thessalonica and continued his journey. And now he's writing back and said, How are the brethren? I'm concerned about my brethren. And like Nehemiah and like the Apostle Paul, we all together now need to be concerned about the spiritual welfare of our brethren. So when we see each other and we ask that simple question, how are you doing? Of course, they're all going to say, well, I'm doing okay. Well, follow up and say, really? Are you okay? If we're going to have success in our work, number one, like Nehemiah, we need to have concern for the welfare of the brethren, of one another. How are you doing? How are you doing? Really? How may I help you? What can I do for you? Yeah. Number two was a heart of compassion. Here's the story with Nehemiah. In chapter 1, verse 4, it says, so it was when Hananiah says, oh, the walls are broken down and the people are in distress. Oh, Nehemiah says, oh, no. He says, I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. In verse 3, when Nehemiah heard the report about the brethren in Jerusalem, it says, they were in great distress, and the wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. Oh, Nehemiah weeps. You know, David was concerned about his brethren. Also, you know, because I'm going to copy. Nehemiah, what did you do? Or brethren, what did you do? I want to do that too. So number one, Nehemiah, what did you do? Well, I have concern for my brethren. What did you do next, Nehemiah? I cried because of their distress. David said in Psalm 119, verse 136, rivers of water run down from my eyes. I'm crying because my brethren don't keep your law, God. Oh, people in distress, brethren in distress because they don't obey God. And David cries. How often we cry when there's a loss of property, possession, or people in our lives. Oh, it brings us to tears. It's because of our close connection to them. And so should a sad condition in our congregation bring us to tears. And I don't mean just when there's a death in our spiritual family here. What about a sad condition of attendance? What about a sad condition of maybe brethren in some kind of personal distress in their lives? You see, if we're going to complete the work of this congregation, number one, we need to be concerned for the spiritual welfare of our brethren. And then number two, we need to have a heart of compassion. Just like Nehemiah. When he heard about the distress of the people, he said, I wept. Wept. But there's more. Nehemiah, what'd you do next? Well, I prayed. I prayed. It's in Nehemiah 1, verse 4. He says, I was fasting, and after he cries, the verse continues, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, and here's his prayer, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, please let your ear be attentive. God, let your eyes be open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you this day. Father, if I want to be concerned with the welfare of the brethren. Number two, it brings me to tears. So what are you going to do next? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, oh God, hear me. Hear me. The things I feel. You know, we hear the leaders of the congregation pray, you know, many times in our Bible class and our worship assembly. But now we need to say, you know, all together now, let us pray for one another. And let's pray for the work of the congregation. Don't leave the prayers just for those who lead in the congregation. We need brethren to pray for one another. And don't be shy about telling brethren, I'm praying for you. I heard about your distress, and I want you to know I cried and I prayed. Yeah. Because that's going to help the work and the success of the congregation all together now. All together. In Philippians 1, verse 3, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine. Oh, so when we think about one another, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Yeah. Now, I put this one in your notes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And look at the, highlighted some of these words in your notes in bold print. There's four alls in this verse. The four alls of prayer. The verse says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication. The four alls of prayer. When you pray, pray always. Not just once. And with all kinds of prayer. There's a time to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God. There's a time to ask God, God, help me. We pray, we make requests in our prayer. We have prayers of supplication. We have prayers of concern. This is on my heart. So we need to pray always with all kinds of prayer. With all perseverance. Don't give up. And for all the saints, one another. See, it's not just leadership. It's not just those who stand up in the front of the congregation that are to tackle the task. It's all together now. All together. Number four is survey the situation. That's what Nehemiah did. So you look at the sequence here. Nehemiah, I heard about the distress of my brethren. I have concern for that. Number two, he says, oh, I have a heart of compassion. So that brings me to tears because of the distress that are in the part of my brethren. Nehemiah, what else? I'm going to pray. God, help. Open your eyes, God. Do you see? And then number four, he takes a view, so he asked the king in Babylon, can I go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall? My brethren are in distress. The walls are broken down. Is there something I can do? Will you let me go back to Jerusalem? And the king says, yes. Yes, you can. You can get involved in the work. So now he goes back and he surveys the situation. He leaves Babylon. He's there. So in Nehemiah 2, verse 15, he says, I went up by night, and I went by the valley, and I viewed the wall, and I saw it was broken down and burned. In verse 17, so then he calls the brethren finally together. He says, I said to them, do you see the distress that we're in? In other words, the brethren come together, and here's the leader, he says to the congregation, he says, do you see what I see? Do you see what I see as a leader? I see brethren in distress. I see walls broken down. Do you see what I see? And he says, Jerusalem lies in waste. Gates are burned. And then he says, come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Nehemiah couldn't do it by himself. He couldn't do it with a faithful few. It took his congregation. So he went out and surveyed the situation, saw the distress, saw the walls broken down, gathered the people. Do you see what I see? So I'm asking, look around, brethren. Survey the congregation. Look at our missionary support. Look at our benevolent work. Look at our attendance. Look at our Bible classes. I want you to survey the situation. I already have. Now I want you to look at our contributions. I want you to look at the participation in our worship assembly. I want you to look at our preaching. Are the messages being delivered that need to be delivered? Look at our budget. Look at our physical property. Look at our maintenance. Look at how many cards or letters are being sent to those who are in distress. Look at the calls that are being made. Look at and look and see if there's enough encouraging words being said. I want you to survey the situation like Nehemiah. He couldn't do it by himself. The leaders that stand up here cannot do it by themselves. It takes a congregation all together now. And that's the title of our lesson, isn't it? The people. I know I have a mind to work. Dennis, others that stand up here in front, don't question their mind to work. I want to know now, today's lesson is to convince the people. The people to have a mind to work. And so number 5, I put all together now in chapter 2, verse 7 of Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, come, and he says it again. Let us build the wall of Jerusalem. And in verse 18, the right response, it says, so they said, Nehemiah, I think you can do it by yourself. Well, they didn't say that. They didn't say, Nehemiah, you and a few people can go ahead and just keep doing what you're doing. We're over here. No, they didn't say that. They said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hearts to this good work. Not just Nehemiah, not just the leadership, not just the faithful few. So the lesson is, brethren, in our congregation, we cannot afford to put the majority of the work on the shoulders of a few. I put a couple X's on my notes by that phrase when I typed this up. And I highlighted in yellow. We cannot afford to put the majority of the work on the shoulders of a few. So I put all together now. Do not be contented to come, sit, look, and listen. Don't be contented to do that. The title of the lesson is The People. The people had a mind to work. You know, when the Apostle Paul writes to the churches, and you think, oh, this is the Apostle Paul. This is God's anointed, God's selected missionary. You know, surely, you know, God's going to bless him in all of his work, and he does, and Paul can just do it all by himself. But and these are not in notes, but I don't. Ephesians 2, verse 19, Paul says to the brethren in Ephesus, fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God. Paul, did you do everything by yourself? No. Fellow citizens, saints, members, household of God. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23, Titus, my partner, fellow worker. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, Timothy, our fellow laborer. Philippians 4, verse 3, these women who labored with me in the gospel, and the rest of my fellow workers. Colossians 1, verse 7, Epaphras, my dear fellow servant. Paul, did you do it by yourself? You're the leader. He said, no. When he writes to the congregation, he says, the people, the brethren, had a mind to work. In Romans 12, verse 6, it says, having then gifts differing, we have different gifts, different talents, the grace of God, let's use them. That's what the verse says. We all have different gifts, talents, ability. There are certain things I can't do, but I know somebody that can. Use the gift that you have. So what else, Nehemiah? After you've done all these things, yeah, well, you ask about the welfare of the brethren. Yeah, how are the brethren doing? Yeah, that's number one. Number two, when he heard about it, the distress, he cries. Heart of compassion. Oh, no. Then number three says, first thing I'm going to do is pray. God help me. Oh, bless us, all of us. Then number four, he says, okay, now I'm going to survey the situation. We'll take a look at all the things that need to be done. And then number five, all together now, let's rally the people. And he convinced them and they responded, let us build. Yeah. What else, Nehemiah? Good work. Nehemiah said that the building of the wall was a good work. Chapter 2, verse 18. It's a good work. The thing that we want to do as a congregation, the friendship that we want to enjoy, the fellowship, the work, the outreach, the missionary efforts, benevolence, all these, Bible education, all these things we want to do, it's a good work. And that's what the people said. It's a good work, Nehemiah. So in chapter 6, verse 15, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of Iyul in 52 days. Oh, we can get it done, brethren. We can. When the people have a mind to work. Number 7 in your notes, it says, keep God. I said, keep God in your plans throughout the good work. And that's what Nehemiah did. Throughout the whole process, 52 days. And even before, when he heard about the necessity, the distress of the people, the wall breaking down, all that, all the way through, even on his journey, Nehemiah was in prayer. In Nehemiah 2, verse 20, he said, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will, what are you going to do? We're going to rise and build. We're going to rise and build. There's a phrase I heard from my youth, and it said, work as if everything depended upon you, and pray as if everything depended upon God. Work and pray. The last one is give God the glory. Nehemiah 6, verse 16 says, and it happened, all right, the wall is finished, when our enemies heard of it, well, they heard it. You guys all worked together, got that wall, you finished that wall all around the city of Jerusalem, the height 8 feet thick. And you did it in 52 days. So he said, when the enemies, the opposition to the work, heard it, and all the nations around us saw it, they were disheartened in their eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. See, God had a plan in that. And God will have a plan for us in our congregation. Rise up and build. All together now. All together. Can't do it by ourselves. Can't do it with a faithful few. Don't leave the work on the shoulders of a few. Please don't do that. That's the lesson this morning. At the close of each lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're subject to that. It's a message of self. It's an invitation for salvation. Because Jesus said it this way in his last words before he ascended back to the Father at the end of his earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 28, in the closing verses, that all authority has been given unto me on heaven and on earth. So he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark records it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the nations, baptizing them, or he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He wanted a salvation message preached to all the world, and that's what we do at the close of every lesson. We preach a message of salvation for you to have your sins forgiven, receive the hope of eternal life, members of the blessings. If you're subject to it, if you've never been baptized for remission of sins, you have that opportunity this morning. You have it right now. If that's your desire, please just let it be known at the close of this song.